Delicious meets nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor but want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. That's WonderfulPistachios.com. This is Optimal Health Daily, episode 1826. Do painkillers affect muscle growth? Here's what the science says, by Christian Finn of MuscleEvo.net. And I'm your host and narrator, Dr. Neil Malik. Hey there, happy Wednesday, and welcome back to Optimal Health Daily, where I read to you from popular health and fitness blogs to help you optimize your health, and always provide a bit of my commentary at the end. Now, something else I do is every Wednesday, I like to share a little bit of inspiration with you. And since today's Wednesday, I'm going to do that. Now, today's inspiration actually came from my primary care physician. I went in for my usually yearly physical, and he was going through the usual series of questions like, do you smoke? Do you consume any alcohol? If so, how much and how often? How often do you exercise? And for how long each session? When I responded to the how often do you exercise and for how long question, he then asked what type of exercises I perform. I told him that I often perform high-intensity interval training with some lighter intensity days in between. It was his response to this that I found so inspiring. So here's what he said, quote, you're basically putting yourself through a cardiovascular stress test each time you work out, which is what we want, end quote. Now, I didn't find this all that inspiring in the moment. Instead, it sort of sat in the back of my mind and then hit me later, specifically during my next workout. When my brain was telling me during that workout that I should wrap up my session because I've got work I need to get back to, my body was saying it could handle some more. That's when my doctor's words popped into my head and inspired me to go just a bit harder before calling it a day. All right, very long intro. So let's finally get to today's post and start optimizing your life. Do painkillers affect muscle growth? Here's what the science says, by Christian Finn of MuscleEvo.net. Over-the-counter painkillers are a popular way to ease the pain and soreness that manifest themselves 24 to 48 hours after a tough workout. But there's a lot of debate about what impact they have on muscle growth. On the one hand, you have research saying that painkillers reduce protein synthesis after training. And on the other, studies to show that taking painkillers for several months actually speeds up gains in muscle size and strength. Do painkillers affect muscle growth? If so, how? The way in which painkillers are thought to affect gains in muscle mass is by limiting the rise in protein synthesis that normally occurs after exercise. In simple terms, your muscles grow larger when protein synthesis is greater than protein breakdown. Think of your muscles a bit like your bank account. Money coming into your account is known as protein synthesis. Money leaving the account is known as protein breakdown. When there's more money coming into your account than there is going out, you'll end up with a bigger bank account. In much the same way, when protein synthesis exceeds protein breakdown, you'll end up with bigger muscles. Although there are a few studies suggesting that painkillers affect muscle growth by slowing protein synthesis after exercise, the one I want to look at in more detail comes from a research group led by Professor Todd Trapp. A group of men with an average age of 25 were assigned to one of three groups. All groups performed 10 to 14 sets of 10 eccentric leg extensions. After completing the workout, group 1 received the maximal over-the-counter dose of ibuprofen, 1200 milligrams each day. Group 2 was given acetaminophen, 4,000 milligrams each day. The third group received a placebo, a dummy supplement that contained no active ingredients. When muscle samples were analyzed 24 hours after exercise, the increased rate of muscle protein synthesis normally seen after resistance exercise was reduced in subjects given the painkillers. It appeared that painkillers can limit the ability of our muscles to synthesize protein and repair themselves after exercise. And if they inhibit recovery, they also have the potential to put the brakes on muscle growth. However, this was a short-term study that looked at protein synthesis in subjects using painkillers for just 24 hours. And while this type of research is useful when it comes to generating ideas and theories about whether or not painkillers affect muscle growth, it's only one piece of the puzzle. A follow-up study, this time lasting 3 months, shows that a daily dose of painkillers actually accelerates gains in both muscle size and strength. Researchers tracked 36 men and women between the ages of 60 and 78. Subjects were randomly divided into an acetaminophen group, an ibuprofen group, or a placebo group. The two drugs were consumed at recommended daily dosage levels. To the research team's surprise, an analysis of muscle tissue samples taken before and after the training program revealed that those taking the painkillers gained more muscle mass than the placebo group. So should you run out and start downing over-the-counter painkillers in an attempt to boost muscle growth? I don't think so, as there are a few issues with this latter study that limit the conclusions we can draw. Firstly, the researchers measured muscle growth using something called a muscle biopsy, which involves taking a slice of muscle tissue from the body and looking at it under a microscope. However, isolated tissue samples from an individual muscle give you a very limited picture about what's happening to muscle growth in the whole body. What's more, the people taking part in the study were in their 60s and 70s. We can't assume that the results will apply to younger people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Finally, elderly people will often suffer from age-related aches and pains. The painkillers may simply have allowed them to train harder during each workout, which could have contributed to the extra gains in muscle size and strength. The last study I want to look at comes from a group of Canadian researchers who examined the impact of a more moderate dose of ibuprofen, 400 milligrams per day, on gains in muscle size and strength. 12 men and 6 women, approximately 24 years of age, trained their right and left biceps on alternate days, 6 sets of 4 to 10 repetitions, 5 days a week for 6 weeks. They received a daily dose of 400 milligrams of ibuprofen immediately after training their left or right arm, and a placebo after training the opposite arm the following day. Did ibuprofen help or hinder muscle growth? It actually did neither. Biceps muscle thickness in the ibuprofen arm went from 3.63 to 3.92 centimeters. That's an increase of 8%, which was no different to the placebo arm. Gains in muscle strength were also much the same in the ibuprofen and placebo groups, with both groups posting roughly a 20% average gain in strength. To quote the researchers directly, a moderate dose of ibuprofen ingested after repeated resistance training sessions does not impair muscle hypertrophy or strength, and does not affect ratings of muscle soreness. End quote. The explanation for ibuprofen's lack of effect, positive or negative, is most likely due to the dosage used. The earlier research by Professor Trapp used maximum over-the-counter doses, like 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen per day. This Canadian study used just one-third of that amount, or 400 milligrams per day. So, do painkillers affect muscle growth? The extent to which painkillers affect muscle growth over a period of several weeks or months is open to debate. However, there is mounting evidence that high doses may extinguish the fire that sparks muscle growth after exercise. While the occasional use of painkillers in moderate amounts isn't likely to suppress your gains completely, they're certainly not something you should use too often. Large doses, taken on a regular basis, could easily add up to a negative impact on muscle growth in the long run. You just listened to the post titled, "Do Painkillers Affect Muscle Growth? Here's What the Science Says," by Christian Finn of MuscleEvo.net. Dr. Neil here for my commentary. So here's the question. If I'm sore after a resistance training workout, should I take a painkiller? Or will taking a painkiller basically counteract all of the hard work I just did during my workout? Well, here's the answer. You ready for this? It's earth-shattering. The answer is, it depends. Don't you just love that response? Don't worry, I'll explain. If you find that after a workout, you're so sore it's hard to function, then yes, taking a painkiller is probably worth it. So, say you find your muscles are screaming with each step as you climb the stairs, or bend down to pick something up off the floor, or you can't sleep, the pain is so bad, then yes, it might be worthwhile to take a painkiller. That way you can at least get through your day or night with less pain. I'll give you another example. One of my good friends, who's in great shape, was kind of walking awkwardly around the office. She was walking around really slowly, and as she walked, it looked like there was an invisible horse saddle between her legs. I had to ask her, are you feeling all right? She said she ran her first marathon over the weekend and that she was feeling pretty sore still. She must have been feeling really sore based on how she was walking. So this is a great example of someone that may benefit from using a painkiller. But if you're experiencing some minor soreness and you can pretty much do all the tasks you could do normally, then see if you can get away without using a painkiller. Instead, you could perform some light stretching and possibly some light resistance training that target those mildly sore muscles, and as a result, that could help speed up the healing process. All right, that'll do it for another edition of Optimal Health Daily. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back here tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.